if you like betting on golf. But everyone that you back misses the cut. Get some experts involved with all the stats and the tips and so much more. 'Cause it's the golf betting system. The golf betting system is the golf betting system podcast.
Greetings and welcome to the Golf Betting System podcast 190. It's our final tips podcast of 2021, featuring the last ever European Tour event, the season-ending DP World Tour Championship, where the Race to Dubai champion will be crowned. It's also the annual Kevin Kisner Appreciation Week, as we take in the final PGA Tour event of 2021, the RSM Classic from Georgia. Paul Williams and Barry O'Hanrahan join me, Steve Bamford, to discuss this week's golf betting action. Good morning, gents.
Morning, chaps.
Morning, guys.
Please subscribe to this podcast as you drive the popularity of the show. The podcast is for listeners of 18 and above. Please be gamble aware. You can visit begambleaware.org for more information. And of course, please bet responsibly. Visit our world famous golf betting system website with our in-depth betting previews, masses of tournament statistics, which include strokes gained again this week, and our predictor models, all available completely free of charge. And there's no paywall. We are available on Twitter. Paul is at Golf Betting. Barry is at A Good Talk Golf. I am at Bamford Golf. You can join our Golf Betting System Facebook group. The link is available in the description box. Plus, look out for the Steve Bamford Golf YouTube channel, where I present the Golf Betting Show every week. Please subscribe and like the shows. I'll be recording my RSM Classic show after this podcast. Now, you guys as listeners power this podcast, so we need your five-star reviews on Apple Podcasts. Would be really good, actually. Give us a Christmas present, a five-star review. We will read out your reviews as we crack on into 2022. I think we're going to be back, aren't we? Tournament of Champions will be our next tips podcast over the new year period. That's the way it'll be. I'm tempted, boys, just to do potentially a Christmas special. But we can talk about that off mic. A Christmas special, the first ever Golf Betting System Christmas special. I'm tempted to do that. If you're listening and you're interested in that, send us a message. Do you fancy a Christmas special? Anyway, back to the reviews. We need your five-star reviews, desperately. Really helps with our rankings on iTunes and Apple. So please give us some five-star reviews as a Christmas present. I've got one here. Great Golf Podcast, 5 stars. Now, I've got to do a Southern States American accent with this one. Just was asked at work why I was laughing and had to tell them because y'all were talking about Mitor Pereira. That's terrible. Mitor Pereira. Always enjoying listening to y'all, and let's hope Mito takes down the mighty John Rahm this week. I think this was written clearly before the Fortinet. I remember people lumping on John Rahm at 5-1 to win the Fortinet Championship. He was an absolute sir. It was like printing money, and he missed the cut. That's the week I put up Mito. Mito Pereira. And he actually got a nice each-way spot that week, did Mito. Anyway, that's from Wizco 13. I'm sorry about the accent, Wizco. And of course, he is in the US of A. Thank you for your time.
Yeah, thanks for the review, Wizco. And apologies again for Steve's. I'm not entirely sure how to describe that. What would you say, Barry?
I don't know. I think we need to extend an apology down to the South of America as well for Steve's pronunciation of Mito's.
Y'all.
Poor Mito's name. Oh, God.
Mito's from Chile, isn't he?
He is,
Mito,
yeah.
Pereira.
You have a thing with the Chileans, don't you?
I do. I love them. I love getting an each-way spot with either Joaquin or Mito. I'm not on Mito this week, though, and I'm not on Joaquin. I'm on neither. It's a non-Chilean week for me, so one of them's going to win. Mm. But yes, One thing I was going to say before we move on, I just wanted to thank all of the listeners for 2021 and supporting the podcast. It's been a phenomenal year for us, our biggest year ever. But we couldn't do it, of course, without your support, the 5-star reviews, and just the general amount of downloads that we're doing these days. And it's all down to you guys. So thank you for your support. We will be back either with a Christmas special, or if we don't do that, we'll be definitely back for the Tournament of Champions, which is over the new year down in Maui, Hawaii. So thanks for all your support.
Yeah, just to kind of back that up, and we get a lot of feedback via email, via Twitter, on Facebook, and through the comments on social media as well, and YouTube and the like. And it's always well appreciated. There's always developments and stuff going on in the background. And Steve and I won't just be putting our feet up over the next few weeks. We will be busily working on improving the content, the stats on the site, and sharpening our tools, I guess, for the start of next season. So if there's any feedback, any comments, any things you think we should be doing or adding to the site, then please do get in touch. It's always appreciated to talk and chat to you guys and see what it is that that we could be doing that helps us all, I guess. So yes, that's the plan for the next few weeks.
Now, I have to say, last week this podcast was all over it like a rash. Absolutely all over it. On the European tour, I know we all mentioned Laporta. He was last off your list, Paul. So that gave me real belief that he'd do well. And sure enough, Laporta... Well, I'll let Barry talk about Laporta and should he have won, could he have won. Clearly he could have won. But yes, that's so we landed Laporta. Was it 66 to 1?
Yeah, I think depending where you shopped about, wasn't it? But
yeah, it was so close to being really good.
I haven't finished yet. Don't forget about Minwoo Lee as well. We're all over Minwoo Lee.
I'll rewind.
Minwoo Lee as well. So you know, we had horses on the course, didn't we, for this one? We actually had a real sweat. Mm. But yeah, Laporta. He was in the end. JB Hansen took out the title, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. Yeah. What were you going to say about Laporta, Baron?
It's all you could really ask for a bet without it winning. You know, he's right in the thick of things. You know, hunting down the lead. You get a bit of excitement from him hitting a couple of not amazing shots. So. Which is not ideal in that situation when you're up against somebody like JB Hansen in the form he's in. I mean, he was hitting the ball so well. It was hard to see. You knew it was going to need something special from Laporta rather than a mistake from Hansen, because you just couldn't see a mistake happening. Really, really impressive win by Hansen, and unlucky with Laporta, but hey, what are you going to do?
Yeah. No, he had a chance, but as you say, it was seriously impressive from Hansen. You talked about Minwoo Lee, Steve. He was tied fourth in the end. Again, there was chances all the way through, really. 4-under through 12, and then just couldn't birdie the par 5 and finished after that with a couple of bogeys and was 3 back in the end. And again, you turn that round, you birdie the par 5. He made eagle there the day before, so it was well within his... capability, birdie at the par 5, a couple of pars, and he's actually on the winning score, but didn't quite happen. But if you look at you dig into the numbers, Minwoo Lee made 8 bogeys during the course of the week. JB Hansen made 1, Laporta made 2, and that's ultimately where Minwoo Lee fell down, because a lot of his game was good. His approach play was a little bit iffy at times, but other than that, he was did a lot of it right, apart from make just a few too many mistakes. Dean Burmester annoyed me as well a bit, because he started really well. 65 he shot in the first round. He was 4-under through 6 on the Friday.
I know. And the commentators, he was throwing his bogeys like Russell Henley does. On a Friday.
It annoys me, because he was going so well. The commentators started victory lapping at that point, because they'd all put him in their fantasy teams. So they sent an on-course interviewer around, of course.
Uh-oh.
You kind of look at the screen and you just... No, it wasn't Tim. It was the other guy. And you
it
kind of
Barter.
You were just cringing. He smashed one down the middle of the par five, in the middle of the green. He's got an iron into the green. He's 4 under through six. Everyone's thinking that he's absolutely flying at the moment. So, of course, he makes bogey there from the middle of the green. And, yeah, just goes into reverse.
That's it, John Morgan.
did they tell him that he was on all their fantasy teams? Was that it?
Like, I don't know. It's just, you know, as a player, wouldn't you just refuse it? It's so often that they send an interviewer out.
It's the kiss
of death. The next thing you see, they thought, oh, you know, bloody hell, they're talking about me on the TV. And I must be doing all right. And the next thing you see, it's a bogey, bogey, double, whatever it is, and out of contention.
For me, there are probably only a handful of guys who could do that mid-round interview and it not affect them or have a positive effect on them. I mean, somebody, like, say, pops to mind, somebody like an Andy Sullivan could just, like, do that in his strides, you know, and just it washes away, or he takes something good from it, you know, just to pick a name from the top of my head. But they're great, but they're not great because they're terrible injuries always. They're just fluff. There's nothing in there. And, I think they can only the downside is so much bigger than any potential upside from doing them.
Oh, it's just painful, Barry, isn't it?
Especially when your money is on him.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, just the second you see him on the screen, oh, no.
I love it when we start blaming John Morgan for our bets collapse.
No, it was the other guy. I can't remember his name.
It wasn't Tim Barter. They'd be saving Tim for this week.
Yeah. Absolutely.
He'll be interviewing Matt Fitzpatrick Friday morning, and all of a sudden it'll be bogey double. I just hope that Matt Fitzpatrick isn't on the Shant Wednesday night like he usually is, Paul. Just for your sake, that's all.
Yeah,
I'll say,
right? I've got a habit of picking him when he starts off really slowly. But yeah, more of that later.
Yes, I just wanted to Minwoo Lee. He is now. Should we do top 50 bubble watch? This is the Masters top 50 bubble watch for a Masters invite come December. 47th is Siwoo Kim. 48th is Stuart Sink, but I think he made the Tour Championship show. He'll be playing the Masters, whatever. Carlos Ortiz at 49. Mackenzie Hughes is on the bubble at 50. And then just outside, Minwoo Lee up five spots with his top five last week at the Aviv Championship. Taylor Gooch at 52. Another one that keeps banging his head against the ceiling. And my friend, who's on my Never Back Again post-it note, Cameron Tringale is at 53. Funnily enough, Cameron Tringale is not playing the RSM Classic this week, so clearly not interested in getting into the world's top 50, bizarrely. But, who knows how a lot of these players think. But Tringale, I would have thought he'd have been a dead cert for the RSM Classic. I think he was in the top five last year or something like that. Not playing. 53rd in the world, not playing. That's crazy. That's absolute madness. I'm shocked by that, it has to be said. Anyway, maybe he doesn't want to play Augusta. Right. So that's the Aviv Championship. Clearly, I snagged a 50-1 to win it. I know, but can you believe it, listeners? I actually snagged a winner. 50-1 winner with Jason Kokrak.
Yep.
Very pleasing as well. I mean, I worked it out yesterday morning, actually. So far this new season, since September, I've had Maverick McNealy finishing second at 50-1. I've had Matthew Wolf finishing second at 45-1. And I've had Colin Morikawa finishing second at 16-1. So actually, a winner. I mean, I've been going to the church every Sunday, praying for a change of luck. It finally landed with Jason.
Yeah, I did. No, it was a brilliant pick, Steve. I mean, ultimately, on Saturday morning when he was finishing off that second round, you must have been
well, it was
must
funny.
Have been sitting over your head in your hands.
I went to watch Stevenage try and play football But it was a good match because the manager finally got sacked. So that's great. So I enjoyed that. We get beat. Manager gets sacked. That's all good. But I didn't look at the leaderboard until I got home. So I literally drove home, got out of the car, put on the PGA Tour app. I was thinking, they must be getting close to starting the third round because there was the delay. And I'm expecting to see Jason Kokrak in that top five window. You know, you get at the bottom, you're like, oh, Kokrak's not there. What's happened here then? So then I start scrolling. I'm going, my God, 5 under, 4 under, 3. Where the hell is he? Get to 1 under. And I'm like, oh my God, I cannot believe it. What has Jason done? So then you check it. And he was in third place last time I looked at that leaderboard with 6 holes to go. You're thinking, what a great spot. He's clearly then slept on it. And even he said in his interview, oh, I don't know if I slept too long last night, but I was absolute garbage this morning. He threw in 2 bogeys, a double, and he finished with a treble bogey. Just to really, and I'm just at that point, I'm thinking, well, it's finished. Kokrak's done. He was 9 shots off the lead. And then he just played the golf that he has been playing. I said in my commentary, didn't I? You know, he absolutely pooed. I don't want to swear. You know, he pooed the bed when he was defending in Las Vegas. You take away that first 77, he'd been the third best golfer at the CJ Cup. Once the pressure had, you know, that's all over. Yeah, finished. So he'd clearly been playing some good golf.
Yeah.
But yeah, long track, driving accuracy important. I think Kokrak's kind of, he's that kind of player, isn't he, that can, you look at where they host the most difficult players on the PGA, the most difficult tournaments on the PGA Tour, or sort of major venues, Kokrak's always sniffing around. You know, Copperhead.
He's something else.
Great record at Copperhead, isn't he, Barry? Mm. Great. He's also contended, come very close to winning the what they call now the Genesis Invitational at Riviera. We know Riviera, firm, fast, tight, difficult golf course. I think there's some real links there with that Memorial Park, and you know those stretching long tests. It's a difficult golf course. But yeah, pleased with that.
Yeah. No, brilliant stuff. And he touched 400 to 1 on the exchange, apparently, when he went all the way out. So that was for him to turn it around from that.
Well, you know me. Every preview I do, I track the distance to the lead. And he was 9 back going into Saturday. Going into the third round. I don't think I've ever seen 9 back winning.
Yeah, it happens very, from very time rare. To time, doesn't it? But yeah, it's a big hurdle to overcome. And that blitz of birdies on the back nine on Sunday just separated him from the field, which was
I think Barry will agree. It's just nice, Paul, to see a stretching, genuine golf course on the PGA Tour. You know, where players are actually earning under par rounds. I mean, clearly, if that had been any other usual standard 25 under wins, you know, Kokrak's finished at 9 shots back, never going to win. But that one, where the actual lead came back, didn't it? I think it was 10 under going into the third round. And then at the end of the round, wasn't it 7 under was leading? So the lead actually went back 3 shots.
Mm.
Very rare to see that.
Yeah, challenging setup, challenging course, isn't it? Which is good to see on the PGA Tour, as you say. It's a bit of a rarity, isn't it, compared to the typical birdie fests that we've been seeing recently.
That is Kokrak's third win in 28 PGA Tour starts. And Barry, you mentioned what set this all off with his putting. Do you want to enlighten the listeners?
I've picked up one of those commentary nuggets on Sunday. They were saying that the thing that kind of seemed to have turned around his putting was that his caddy, I think, noticed that his hand was off the top of the putter, off the top of the grip. He said, why is that? And he said, it just feels better that way. So they lengthened his putter by an inch, and all of a sudden everything became a lot more comfortable and consistent for him. Mm. So just tiny little things, it's amazing. You know, whether it be psychological or physiological for that reason, or a combination of the factors, it just triggered for him, and off he went. He's won 3 times now in the last, 12 months?
Yeah. Yeah, certainly turned him around.
Thereabouts, yeah. something else. He can consider a recent big time player now, you know, and he's one that usually hits our collective heads for the majors as an outsider.
Yeah, definitely. The strokes gained putting last season, he was sixth total. It was only Zach Johnson, Patrick Reed, Ian Poulter, JT Poston, and I won't even mention Louis Oosthuizen because everybody knows Louis Oosthuizen's the best putter in the world because it's on every TV commentary 30 times a session. Yeah, Louis, number one putter last year. Kokrag was sixth. I guarantee that he was probably about 190th the previous season.
Yeah, it's a big turnaround.
That's crazy. That's absolutely crazy. Anyway, that's enough of that. Let's talk about the events this week. We have the European Tour Climax. We have the DP World Tour Championship from the Earth Course. Paul, over to you.
Yeah. As you say, the last European Tour event ever, because it's all going to become the DP World Tour, isn't it, after this week. But before we get there, we've got the DP World Tour Championship, which is the season's finale. We just hop over to the Earth Course from the other side of the Jumeirah Golf Estates from last week's fire course. And it's all about the Race to Dubai title this week. We've got Colin Morikawa heading the list at the moment at 3,856 points. Billy Horschel, 3,620. So those two guys are pretty much clear at the top of the Race to Dubai rankings. And it would be a surprise to see anyone work out the maths and actually come through and pip one of those two guys to the title. John Rahm, 3,402 points, would have had a very live chance to win the Race to Dubai this week, but he's decided not to come. He's decided to spend some time with the family. Big blow to the European Tour, you've got to say, by John Rahm deciding not to attend. But that's where we are. So that leaves the two Americans clear at the top. Tyrrell Hatton's the closest challenger from there. Just to put it into context, 2,472 points. So really, all said and done, it's going to take a big failure from both Colin Morikawa and Billy Horschel for one of those guys not to get over the line in terms of the overall Race to Dubai. But let's focus on the actual event itself, because it's a classy event. You've got the rest of the best of the European Tour, as it is at the moment, in attendance, with the exception of Hovland and Rose. Both of those guys decided not to attend as well. Rose is actually playing over on the RSM Classic, I believe, Steve, on your event.
I just wanted to say, actually, Patrick Reed, as of Saturday, was in the official starting list for the RSM Classic.
Yeah,
and then he was a WD. So clearly that was a last minute decision to hop on the private jet and go to Dubai.
Well, it's a last minute invite by the looks of it. I mean, just to give you an idea, the field is 50 players, but it's actually 51 because JB Hansen appears to have got into the field courtesy of winning last week at the fire course, which then extended the 50 to 51. So James Morrison, who was the last available player pre-JB Hansen's win, he actually gets in, even though he's 51st in the pecking order, effectively. But then invites have been extended to both Patrick Reed and Sergio Garcia to attend, who are both outside of in terms of the Race to Dubai, they're not even going to accrue points this week, apparently. So it's all a bit odd, all a bit strange. But as you say, Patrick Reed was penciled in to play the RSM. So some conversations have been had in the meantime. And I guess they want to get a player like Reed over because he has and does support the European Tour and has supported the tour in the, you know, over the recent years. And yeah, I guess you could argue with some conviction that there's been enough disruption to the scheduling for the players and to world golf in general this year to allow for a little bit of leniency and a little bit of bending of the rules. But yes, that makes 53 in total here versus the 50 that was originally penciled in for this event, with Garcia and Reed being added to the list over the weekend, as you say. Rory McIlroy then becomes the 6-1 favourite with no John Rahm here. Colin Morikawa is 17-2, so just over 8-1 to win. Matt Fitzpatrick 16-1. Sergio's in at 18-1, courtesy of his invite. Tommy Fleetwood 18s, Abraham Ants at the same price, 18-1. Then you're into the likes of Paul Casey, Tyrrell Hatton, Bernd Wiesberger, all 22s and 28-1, bar that list of seven or eight players I've just read through. Short field, Boyle Sports have gone eight places each way, even though it's only a 53-man field this week. So you're covering off a big chunk of the field if you go eight places each way. I've got to say, there's a lot of good extended each way places terms out there this week, but Boyle Sports trumped the lot this week. They've extended that bet 10 get £30 in free bets offer that we talked about last week to the end of this tournament, so it's running until Sunday. If you fancy the Boyle Sports bet 10 get 30, then pop along to the site, links are on there, full T's and C's are on there of course as well, plus you're getting eight places each way, and I believe they've gone 10 places each way on your event. Yep. Steve,
10 places over at the RSM Classic. So you think that, yes, through. Someone's saying we've got eight additional each way spots this week across both tours, which is, well, we've said it all along with Boyle Sports, they've just been the best. Paddy Power always traditionally used to lead the way with each way places and the number of additional spots they gave away, but now Boyle Sports are just way out there. So that, and you do, yeah, that, at the moment you're getting that additional bet 10 get 30 deal. So well,
really aggressive, isn't it? Yeah, it's a really aggressive stance for them, and you've got to applaud how they're approaching it. And let's hope it all continues into 2022, and there's a lot of competition between the bookies for everyone's business. Back to the Earth Course then. We've become familiar to it over the years, haven't we? It's a 7,675-yard par 72. Greg Norman design, a typical desert affair, really, isn't it? Large Bermuda grass greens. Long course, but it doesn't necessarily mean that it appeals to just the longest of hitters, because we've seen a few mid-length players get over the line and seriously contend here over the years. Going back to 2009, we've got history, so there's plenty to pour over on the site this week. Just to give you a flavour of some of the winning prices, 2010 was Robert Coulson, 50-1. Alvaro Quiros, 40-1 the year after. Rory McIlroy won his first of two titles in 2012 at 6-1. Henrik Stenson won back-to-back at 11-1 and 17-2 in 2013, 2014. Then we had Rory again at 5-1. So Rory, again, 6-1 favourite this week. He's won here at 6-1 and 5-1 in the past. So worth noting if you do fancy another Rory win this week. Matt Fitzpatrick won in 2016. He was a 66-1 shot that week. John Rahm won on debut in 2017, 12-1. Danny Willett, 80-1 in 2018. Rahm won again in 2019 at 7-1. Fitzpatrick won again in 2020 last year at 16-1. So a lot of repeat winners in that list from 10, 12 renewals over the years. Weather set fair, mid-80s Fahrenheit in the afternoons, 10 to 15 miles an hour. It's just typical Dubai weather. It's very, very consistent. It's very, very similar each and every year. The wind does pick up a little bit in the afternoons, but not excessively so. Just makes it a little bit more of a test. And this event here, this course has always typically been about long game performance. And that kind of bears out from some of the names you read through just then. Rory, Henrik, Matt Fitzpatrick, John Rahm, ball striking, high greens in regulation, historically with the traditional stats, and then just having that good enough putting week to get over the line. They've thickened the rough a little bit over the years. I mean, Matt Fitzpatrick last year was 15 under for his winning total. We have seen as deep as 25 under in the past, so the winning scores have been reined back a little bit, but I don't think that fundamentally changes the demands of this course and what you know, the kind of player that it tends to appeal to. I mean, for me, it's similar to last week. You need to keep bogeys to a minimum. You need to maximise your performance on the par fives. And we did get a view last year of strokes gained for the first time. And I don't think it tells us anything new, really, that we won't have gleaned from eyeballing the course and the events in the past. But Matt Fitzpatrick was 8th for strokes gained off the tee when winning, 8th for strokes gained tee to green. He was actually 1st for strokes gained putting, which was ultimately the differentiator. Lee Westwood, second place, sixth for strokes gained off the tee, third for approach, third for strokes gained tee to green. It's all very consistent. And again, you know, it marries up with the likes of Henrik Stenson's game, or the Rory's game, or the John Rahm's game. Long game performance, and then just have that good enough week on the greens to get the job done. In terms of incoming form, there's a long list on my preview, which you can pour through if you want to go into a bit more detail. Every winner here had a top seven finish in their last six starts. So a bit of incoming form is a fairly good indicator, I think. Course form's also a positive. I mean, we've seen four dual winners now. Rory, Stenson, John Rahm, Matt Fitzpatrick all won here twice. So good positive experience of this course and this event is a positive, I think. Debutants, John Rahm did win on debut, back in 2017. John Rahm's a bit special, though. I think you're going to need a little bit special if you're going to win here on debut this week. But that's not to discount some of the players. You know, you've got the likes of Billy Horschel coming here and playing for the first time. And Billy's got a live chance of winning the race to Dubai. Billy won the BMW PGA Championship. He's if there's going to be a player that could turn the tables on debut, then maybe that's the kind of player. But I've kind of gone around the houses a little bit here. And because when you've got two players at the top of the market, you've got a McIlroy, you've got a Colin Morikawa, both short prices, both with very clear opportunities to win this golf tournament. I mean, with Morikawa, he's got the chance to win the race to Dubai. Rory's down in the 20s in terms of his ranking. So that's out of the equation for Rory. I mean, it's tough to oppose him, Rory, that is. It's twice a winner here. He won the CJ Cup in his last start. The split with Pete Cowan's now confirmed. He's back. He's with Michael Ballon full time again on the swing coach aspect of his game. So, you know, perhaps we'll see a bit of a boost from him this week and over the next year as he develops or redevelops that relationship. But if you look back at the CJ Cup, it was still the putter that was doing the damage. And I don't know. For a 6-1 shot, you're relying on Rory having that magical putting week. To get over the line with the state of the rest of his game at the moment, and it's just not guaranteed in my view. When you look at Rory, I just can't work with that price and that assumption that he's definitely going to have a guaranteed good putting week. So I've kind of swerved away from him. I've swerved away from Morikawa. I think the fact that he's got this race to Dubai title and the metrics and the numbers that will be associated with that during the course of the week on his mind, I think that brings its own pressure. He's massively suited to the course. You know, in terms of ball striking, there's going to be very, very little reason to oppose him, I think, in the future on this. But again, at the price, I just couldn't go there. If there's going to be one player that needs, one player that we can pick who's got the ability and the the proven record that can actually go ahead and win this kind of tournament with those players ahead of him in the market, and the one that fits the bill for me is Matt Fitzpatrick at 16-1. Great record here, fourth on debut back in 2015. He won here in 2016, as we said a second ago. He was 12th when defending the year after. 34th in 2018 is his only real failure, I guess. 9th in 2019, won again last year. So defending this week doesn't really bother me. We've seen him defend before at Crans Sorcière, the Omega European Masters. He led when he was halfway when he was defending here in 2017. And, a few years further on, very accomplished player, even more accomplished player now. Won at Valderrama last month. Kind of put that Ryder Cup disappointment out of his mind with that win. He described it as a bucket list win to win at Valderrama, and that should give him a lot of confidence coming into this week. Sixth in the race to Dubai, so I guess mathematically there may be a chance that he could still win, but I think realistically he's looking at second or third if he were to go ahead and win this golf tournament. And that's the kind of thing that we've seen from Matt in the past. We've seen him come through from kind of mid race to Dubai positions and secure a lofty payout, as well as the race to Dubai or the DP World Tour Championship title. We've seen him do it a couple of times, and I wouldn't be surprised to see it happen a third time here this week. So Fitz is in at the top, 16-1. I've also backed Thomas Peters at 30-1 with seven places. That was with Betfred, I believe. Belgium finally got over the line, didn't he? In Portugal a fortnight ago. 2 years since his last win. He's better than that. We know he's better than that. Five wins in total now, age 29. And perhaps we'll see him push on again from here after
To get in the Ryder Cup?
I'm sure he went consecutive wins.
I know that it was a DP World Tour Championship level win, but it was. I'm sure there was two in three or two in two or something like that.
It was personal back to back. Yeah, there was a week in between. It was the Czech Masters and the KLM Open back in 2015.
You don't see many players go back to back, do you? It doesn't happen very often. So he's done it once already.
Yeah, and it's kind of proven that when he hits that top form, he can go ahead and maintain that level. So I think it was good that he took the week off last week. He was penciled in again to play the fire course. After winning in Portugal, he decided to take the week off, which was quite sensible, I think. And now he comes into this. And I think you're right, Steve. I think that precedent that he's got in his on his CV, in his mind for having gone back to back, with a week off in between the past. I think that's a really good thought process for him. And he was absolutely striping the ball at Villamora. 14th for strokes gained off the tee, 4th for approach, 1st for strokes gained tee to green. That's got to give him massive confidence. And, you know, equally the way that he got over the line. Big par save on the 16th. He hit the par 5 in 2, the 17th. And, you know, where everyone else was wobbling and throwing it in the water, smashed two perfect shots to about 15, 18 feet, something like that. Two-putted. And that gave him a little bit of breathing space up the final hole. Par save on the last from 20, 25 feet. You know, that's got to give him a real, real boost. And he comes into this event this week. He's finished 6th here in the past, a couple of years back. He's putted well here a number of times. He's played 6 times and he's finished in the top 6 for putting on 3 of those occasions. And he should arrive this week on the crest of a wave. So, yeah, I was quite pleased with his price, I must say, this week to get 30-1. Finally, and again, if you go back through those winning prices that I read through a few minutes ago, and you see a lot of mid-range winners here, kind of that 40, 50, 66-1 price point. So I've backed 3 from that range. I've backed Laurie Cantor at 50-1. He was 5th here last year on debut, and again, I think this course absolutely plays to his long game strengths. He was 4th also at the Dubai Desert Classic earlier this year, and of course we know that he hasn't won yet. And so, you know, when I put my preview out yesterday, there were some comments back, you know, Laurie Cantor can't win, blah blah blah. It would be a huge title for him to take to break his maiden, but you know, we saw him at Wentworth. He had a real chance of winning at Wentworth. That was a big Rolex Series event. He was 2nd there. Top 5 since Mallorca Open, Andalusia Masters, both of those top 5s. I think he's knocking very firmly on the door. The course suits, course form, got some good desert form, 50-1. You know, if he finishes in the places, then I'll take it. I happily take
50
it.
To 1's 50 an each way price, isn't it?
Absolutely.
If he finishes top 7, great. Yeah, no, Cantor's one for me this week.
Game shape wise, absolutely perfect.
Perfect.
So Cantor's in. Victor Perez as well, back to 66. He's been tipped in a few places, so he's been back in to around about 50s now. But again, that's the right kind of price point, I think, for this. I backed him last week. He finished 24th, which doesn't work from an each way perspective, of course. But he closed with a bogey free 65. He had some really good, strong long game stats over the weekend. And if you combine that 8th place finish at Villamora, where he putted really, really well, with the fact that he really put his long game together over the weekend, then I think he's deserving of a chance here this week at the price on offer. 20th here on debut, 7th then last year. I think any further improvement from him this week, and he's paying us out again at a good mid-range each way price. So Perez is in also. And finally, I've backed Danny Willett, who, I guess, a bit of an enigma, isn't he? He misses a lot of cuts. But then he also seems to peak and only peak for the big events. And his last 4 wins, the Masters, the DP World Tour Championship here, the BMW PGA Championship, and then at the start of last month, the Alfred Dunhill Links. And then I counted that it missed, over the last 4 years, 41 out of 100 starts in terms of missed cuts. So that's a big ratio of missed cuts for a player of his stature and ability. But I think it's just about what really gets his juices flowing nowadays. And, you know, he's coming into another big week with another big title, rubbing shoulders with some of the biggest stars on the world circuit, not just the European Tour circuit. And I think that may well get his juices flowing again this week. His long game looked really sharp, actually, at St Andrews. He put a new putter in the bag that week.
A new putter,
yes. Yeah, I'm not sure putter on your...
You put a bit of anchor in, did he?
Yeah, I'm not sure that's allowed, either, is it? But I don't think it was the putter, really, that did the damage. I mean, he hit 87.5% of greens in regulation from the holes that were recorded at St Andrews. So that was strong. He's won in Dubai before, outside of here. He won the Dubai Desert Classic in 2016, the year before he won, in the same season before he won the Masters. And we've already seen, I read through the list of names earlier, didn't I, of players who've won here twice. Danny Willett's already won it. He could well be the next name to add to that list of dual Earth Course winners. So, taking a chance on Danny. So Danny's in 55s, Victor Perez 66, Laurie Canter at 50-1, Thomas Peters at 30-1, and at the top, Matt Fitzpatrick at 16-1 to round off this season on the European Tour. And as you say, the last European Tour
event. Last ever European Tour event.
So all we need to do now, Steve, is go through and find and replace every instance of European Tour on our website and replace it with DP World Tour. That'd be a job for the next few weeks.
Well, can not just use Control F.
They never cut a deal with us, did they?
No, sadly not. I'll find a way, Barry, don't you worry. Who'd you fancy?
You guys didn't sponsor an event to juice their prize funds when they were struggling the most this year, you know? Get them up to that $2 million a week.
We won't talk about this DP World Tour Championship malarkey or DP World Tour, but in the announcement last week, they were bigging it up that every event now is going to be a $2 million prize fund. And you just look at the PGA Tour, and they're playing for $7.2 million this week at the RSM Classic.
On a hit, and this is a hit and giggle week for the PGA Tour.
It's like, exactly. It is what it is, really. Barry, who do you fancy this week at the Earth Course?
Yeah, I'm gonna stick with Minwoo Lee. Hot hand, playing great. Just does need to clean up a couple of those bogeys because you just can't be hanging on to too many bogeys this week. But yeah, other than that, I'm happy to grab him 28-1. Excuse me. The other one I was curious about, I backed Sean Crocker or Croker. I'm not sure how to pronounce it. I was just curious, like, did he enter your mind at all, Paul? Or
yeah, again, in terms of the fit, in terms of game shape, yes. I still got the recollection of Crocker coming down the street. I forget which event it was a few months ago, and completely imploding. And you know, there's going to be a lot of pressure with a lot of very good players in this field. And you know, ultimately, when I was kind of cutting down to a final list, it's a case of, do I think some of these players are actually going to be able to, you know, hang about at the final, on the final stages here? And Laurie Canter was a big dilemma for me, because you could argue the same. I've seen that little bit more from Canter to suggest that he could hang about and stay in those each way positions. Yeah, and Crocker, I just couldn't quite get there. But listen, in terms of game shape, in terms of style of play, yeah, absolutely, I can see the logic 100% with that.
Yeah, and so that's not a complete no disaster. So that's okay.
No.
Not feeling too terrible about that going into the week. And then, I mean, just sticking with the hot hands, I've backed Laporta again. This will be his first time playing here, but you know, it's right next door. He played well last week. I'm just gonna draw very thin, you know, tenuous lines between last week and this week, and just the guy's hitting the ball pretty well on a course like this with big greens. yeah, I can't see how he doesn't hit a lot of greens in regulation. Then it's just, does the putter work for him?
No. Once you've been invested in a player and he's come so close, there's that dilemma. Do I leave him alone and then watch him win the following week, or watch him place at a decent price the following week?
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
You know, having opted not to go with him, and you know, it's a tough one. So, yeah,
and it's been a good kind of confluence of factors to keep his price up as well. Like, yes, the field has got better, but he still has to beat the other guys. He still has to beat the guys that are out there, regardless of what name they have on their on the caddy's bib. So that's kept his price up at a pretty nice level. So yeah, jumped on it again.
Very good. Very good. Any from you, Steve?
Billy Horschel.
You love Billy. I mean, that's...
Horschel is saying, tee to green, yeah? Strong yeah. Driver, high GIR. Where's Billy Horschel? You look at his PGA Tour career, 4 of his 6 victories on Bermuda grass.
Yeah.
4 of 6. Yeah. I remember him saying at Wentworth, he had a real target if he could win a race to Dubai, kind of. If he could, he'd be one of the rarities that had won the FedEx Cup and the race to Dubai. I just think he'll have been targeting this. I know that he started very, very nicely at Mayakoba last time out and then just kind of eased it off. I think Horschel, 28-1 is a decent price on Horschel, I thought.
Yeah, it was a little bit further down the odds, wasn't he? Which is.
I mean, personally, I would take Billy Horschel over Sergio Garcia every day of the week.
Yeah. Yeah, again, you can flip that on its head and look at desert records. And I did look at Horschel's desert record over on the PGA Tour, which was ultimately kind of what put me off. If I'd have seen a lot of good desert performances, then I might have been.
The only difference I'll say is that desert golf in America tends to be at altitude. Maybe hits the numbers that freak Billy out, where this isn't going to be at altitude. But yeah, I'm on Horschel personally. I've followed you in on Cantor.
Yep.
I've also followed you in on Danny Willett, because Danny is the kind of guy, as you said, that just takes out big tour titles. And personally, I would rather be on someone like Danny Willett at 55s than Ian Poulter at 55s.
Yeah. Yeah, it just, those big events, those big weeks, just seem to spark something in his game. Yeah, again, listening to him talk in an interview and talking about the state of his game, and he's admitted himself that there's a lot of pretty average, pretty poor play in there. But when he's good, when it all clicks in that given week, when he finds whatever he needs to find, either mentally or with his game, he is very, very good. It's just pinning those weeks down, as we know. But the reward for getting it right with Danny Willett is usually pretty strong, because of his incoming form. He's always pretty nondescript, isn't it?
Thomas Peters is currently 74th in the world. Mm. So if he could actually get over the line this week, you never know, that might sneak him into the top 50.
I think it would be right on the borderline, I think, won't it, one way or the other.
I was surprised how I thought there would be a lot more points on offer.
Just, I think if Ron had played, it would have been
from Nosferatu. I was a little bit was it 28 or something? No, it's 48. 48 for this and 44 for the RSM.
If Rahm and Hovland had played, I think you'd have been significantly higher. But
yeah, of course.
But yeah. The way it is.
Yeah, I'm surprised Hovland didn't play, personally. There you go.
Right. Yeah, I've not seen a reason, but
no, not at all. I expect he's playing. Let's just check this out.
He's playing the hero, yeah.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I bet you he plays the hero.
Yep.
Yeah,
it's penciled in for that.
Bit disrespectful there in my mind. Yeah, he's in that. Yeah, he's in the field. Right, that's a bit weird that. Right. Let's talk RSM Classic. The Kevin Kisner Appreciation Week. Now, I take it, Barry, that you are on board. Let's start with that. Have you got the Kevin Kisner bug this week?
No.
No?
My God.
I've backed him, but I'm going in with very low expectations. This is like the situation where everybody says a movie is amazing, But you just can't let yourself get excited by it. So you just buy the ticket and you get, you know, you go in and take your seat and hopefully it's really enjoyable. But
you have a stake on him, but you're not into it.
I just don't know. I mean, he's not telegraphing stuff at all, really. It's been a hard one to get a handle on this year. So,
I think
I'm very negative.
I reckon he's shut down for the year. I reckon he's been out shooting turkeys.
Oh, he has been out shooting turkeys. Yeah, not the kind that we shoot go after in weekend golf competitions here in the UK and Ireland.
I think he's been out hunting and fishing. The 2 years he's done well here. I was look this up before the podcast. 2 years he's done well here. I was here on him at 22-1, 2015. He'd finished second 2 weeks before in Shanghai at the WGC. And then last year played the Masters the week before and got done in a playoff by Robert Stripp. Apart from that, I think he's closed down for the year. I just don't think he's interesting. He went out to Las Vegas, took the easy money at the CJ Cup where it was no cut, and that's him done. He's been out fishing and shooting turkeys, mate. So I'm not on Kevin Kisner this one.
Well, I don't know. I've, out of curiosity, I've backed him at 50-1.
I thought the price was... we were discussing. I didn't think the price would be anywhere near them. So I think as an each-way punt, it was a good price at 50-1. I can see why that could demolish straight away. I don't think he'll win. But yeah. So we'll of the three of us are on Kevin Kisner, even though none of us are overly excited about it.
Yeah, it's just like a begrudgingly, I've just got to back him because...
It's a FOMO bet, isn't it? Just in case. Yeah. So, look, I don't know. Let's talk about other golfers who we really wanted to back rather than begrudgingly backed.
Well, I haven't got much time, so let's really skim through it. It's the RSM Classic. It's played at two courses on St. Simon's Island, which is a rather wealthy golf community on the Atlantic coast in Georgia. My preview, I will put a link in the description to both Paul's preview and mine, as I always do. There's loads of information on here. Who lives here? Who trains here? Amateur records on this course and on the one next door. It's all there. Loads of details. Taken me forever to put it all together. But that's the kind of thing I do for you guys. I'll give you all the detail. But yes, played on two courses. They play the Plantation course and the Host course, which is the Seaside course. We have strokes gain data since 2015 on the Seaside course. It's an absolute beauty, isn't it, Paul? And it's all completely free of charge at Golf Betting yep. System. We should really charge for it, but we're so generous here. I will run through the top five total. Scheffler is one, played four rounds here. So this is strokes gained total on the Host course. Doesn't include Plantation before anyone shoots me because they don't record it. Kisner at two. It is his appreciation week. Matthew Neesmith at three. Webb Simpson at four. And Alex Noren, of all people, at number five. That is strokes gained total on the Seaside course since 2015. There's some interesting names there. What else should I quickly talk through? Yeah, Seaside Golf Course, 19 under par seems to be the number. I mean, if you want consistent winning score, 19 under is the winning score for Robert Streb, Tyler Duncan, Charles Hile III. 2017, less windy, Austin Cook, 21 under par. 2016, Mackenzie Hughes, blowy if I remember. Pretty blowy that year, 17 under, Kevin Kisner 22 under. So, if it really blows, maybe 16 and 17s. If it doesn't really blow, I would suggest it might be 19 to 21s. That's what we're looking for. So, it's a lot more difficult than what we saw last week at the Houston Open. It's a lot easier than what we saw at the Houston Open last week. We are dealing with Tiff Eagle Bermuda grass on the greens. The Host course itself is pretty wide off the tee. I wouldn't describe it as a bomber's golf course either. These are the strokes gain numbers of the four of the five winners, Kisner through Streb. This is where they averaged in the field. Strokes gain off the tee, 26th. You rarely see that on the PGA Tour. As we know, it's all about bombing. This golf course isn't about bombing. Strokes gained approach, 21st. Strokes gained around the green, 27th. And it's a kind of strange one here. Strokes gained tee to green, 14th. And as we can see, that strokes gained tee to green number is made, it kind of just averages through. And strokes gained putting, 11th. So people, winners here, have had a better week putting in general than they have tee to green. That is an abnormality on the PGA Tour, big style. So for me, it gives short game putters a real chance of taking a PGA Tour event, which is very rare these days. Short course, 7,000 yards. The other plantation course is actually a par 72 at 7,000 yards. That is there for the taking. As we've always said, coastal golf very much depends on what the wind and the weather is going to do. Thursday is going to be absolute lights out. It's going to be a birdie fest. There is no wind. So you've got to get yourself in a position. The one thing I will say is I think we might have some real bias on the draw, because Thursday there is no wind. So if you're on that plantation score course, you can rip. And then on Friday and then on Saturday, a lot more wind, gusting up to 20, 25 miles an hour, which isn't going to turn this into a technical golf course by any way, but you've got to be able to play the wind to score here. So you might find, I think, that those that are playing plantation on Thursday get a big leg up this week, just on the draw bias. Nothing on Jason Kokrak, by the way. He was on the wrong side of the draw by 1.5 strokes last week. Even more reason why that win was impressive. So Friday could be blowing up to 25. Saturday could be blowing up to 25 miles an hour. Also, for America, it's going to be cold. 19 degrees Celsius on Friday, 20 degrees Celsius on Saturday. So, you know, it's not, that's actually warmed up. It was earlier yesterday, it was showing up to 17 degrees, so it's slightly warmer. But anyway, it's going to be scorable. I've gone for six. Oh, I'll tell you what else I was going to mention. Average winning scores around here in terms of odds of the champions. It's an absolute SHIT show. So if you're going to be falling Scotty Scheffler off a cliff at 10-1. Good luck to you. That's all I'll say. Robert Streb, 350-1 winner last year. 350-1. Tyler Duncan, 200-1. Charles Howell the Third. He was that lovely 50-1 price point that we like. Austin Cook was 90-1. Mackenzie Hughes, 250-1. Kevin Kisner, the year that we were on him, when we set up the Appreciation Society, 22-1. The average winning price here over the last 8 renewals is 136-1. So as you said, I mean, Scotty Scheffler, Webb Simpson, do your worst, really. I'm going nowhere near them. Interestingly, with Webb Simpson, 2 years ago, when he was one of the best players on the planet, he went off, bearing in mind that he'd finished second at the WGC FedEx St Jude, second at the Wyndham Championship. Yes, seventh at the Shriners the outing before. He went off at 10-1 to win this and didn't win it. So 14-1 when he's playing absolute garbage. I'm not sure about Webb Simpson. I was expecting to see a bigger price, but the bookmakers know better than that, because he would have been absolutely hammered. It would have been Webb Simpson and Kevin Kisner Appreciation Week if they'd put 20-1 up on Webb Simpson. I'm going for the following players. I'm going to be really quick. I am going for Mackenzie Hughes. Mackenzie Hughes, who won here in 2015. As we said at the top of the show, Mackenzie Hughes is on the bubble. World top 50. Big, big week for Hughes. And I'll tell you what I remember about Mackenzie Hughes. I'm on at 1.5 points each way, 60-1, 7 place each way with Betfred. I can remember Mackenzie Hughes, the year that he, I think it was 2 years ago, might have been last year actually. He's the kind of player that you actually put him under a bit of pressure, he seems to play better. Because I can remember him having to play really well at the BMW Championship to squeak into the Tour Championship, and he actually delivered. So actually, this World Top 50 situation and getting himself a nice Masters invite, I think that might actually work in his favour. And if there's one thing Mackenzie Hughes has surprised me with, bearing in mind he was fourth in Japan a few weeks ago, he's actually starting to hit some greens. And that is dangerous, because Hughes is scrambling around the green and putting, as we know, it's one of the best in the world. I think there's a link here as well. You look at RSM Classic, you look at the Corrales Championship, and you look at the players that have done well at Corrales, both in terms of when it was on the Corn Ferry and on the PJ Tour. Very, very close affiliations. Mackenzie Hughes has been runner-up at Corrales twice. Likes playing by the coast. So I'm on Hughes at 60 to 1. I'm also on Brendan Todd at 60 to 1 with Betfred 7 place each way. Brendan Todd, he's another one, started to hit some greens. He's got a lot of Southeastern Conference Championship experience here. In fact, I found an interview with him back in 2014. So we're talking back in 2014 here. He'd shot a great round. He was near the top of the leaderboard. He said that at that point, he'd already shot over 24, 25 rounds around this place. Since then, I think he was fourth back in 2019. That was when he won at Bermuda, won the Mayakoba, and almost won three on the bounce.
Spot property back then, wasn't he?
He was. He was 11th last time out, and he actually hit a very high amount of greens, which is why I'm again on Todd, because he's a fantastic putter. Also, Todd and Hughes, they are decent wind players. So Todd and Hughes for me, 60 to 1. And then I've just gone for a sprinkle of treble digit shots. Tyler Duncan, 125 to 1 with Betfred 7 place each way. He's a previous winner here. I've gone for Andrew Landry. Just missed out on 150s, but I'm on 125 to 1 on Andrew Landry. I've got full 8 places each way with Paddy Power on Andrew Landry. The sort that can get over the line, 2 PGA Tour victories. I've gone for Davis Riley, who is a rookie, who is one of these guys that's got a fantastic Jones Cup and Southeastern Conference record on this golf course and the one next door from amateur golf and college golf. He's got a whole list. He was also in the top 10 at Bermuda. He finished 7th at the Bermuda Championship. And the final round there where it was blowing a hooli, Riley was in the top 3 that day for scoring in the crux of the wind. So I'm on Davis Riley, 150 to 1 with Paddy Power, 8 places. And I'm also on another rookie who lives on Sea Island and again has a fantastic record both on this golf course, Seaside, and on the ocean course, which is next door for the Jones Cup. Grayson Sigg. I'm having a Sigg this week. Grayson Sigg, 150 to 1, 7 places each way, 50 odds with Betfred on Sigg, who has another one with these phenomenal amateur record on St. Simon's Island. So, I've got Sigg, Riley, Landry, Duncan, Todd, and Hughes. Those are my 6 for the RSM Classic. You boys, hit us with it.
Go on, Barry.
Graham McDowell, just sticking with it. Nothing further than that. Couple of other long shots. Bronson Burgoon. I'm just grabbing like stuff at the bottom of the pack and just seeing what happens. I mean, if Martin Trainer can get a place for people at like 95 million to 1, then why not? I like what I saw at a Joel Damon's game last week. Really good tee to green stuff. So that catches my eye. Took him at 50 to 1. And is that it? Oh, yeah. And Matthew Neesmith, who has, like, you know, dominated the honors boards at this course, according to Steve's research. So got him, took him at 100 to 1.
Yeah, I was on him last year. Good player, Neesmith, on the island.
Yeah, solid record there, isn't it?
Very, very solid. Barry, you did say to me that these streaks do get broken, and they do. But no player has ever won this after winning in the same year. So that's what put me off Damon. But Damon's going to be hugely popular because he plays... He won at Corrales as well, didn't he? See? So it all works. So when Damon does win, congratulations on that. I tell you what I was thinking as well. Martin Traynor, that is not a bad bet this week. 500 to 1 available with Unibet this week on Martin Traynor, who's in the top 5 last week in Houston. And who won in Puerto Rico by the coast. His only PGA Tour top. Mm. Or only PGA Tour win. Up until last week, it was his only own PGA Tour top 10. We've seen it before. These players find something. There's no reason why he can't do it 2 weeks on the trot. I thought that was a crazy price on Traynor, but yeah, I'm not on him. You, Paul?
Yeah, KK, I've backed, as I said. I like Brendan Todd as well, Steve. I'm in on him. The same price and terms as you said. I think that he's got that right kind of neat and tidy game, isn't he? And you know, he's got a lot to like here. Fourth, as you said, back in 2019. Barry, I'm also on Graham McDowell, so we've got a lot of overlap this week. The other one that I'm on, I see no reason to miss him out on that kind of 200 to 1 price point.
No.
The one I'm on that neither of you have mentioned is Adam Long, who has got some good progressive form, 25th, 22nd, 11th over his last 3 starts. He shot a 64 and a 65 here over his last 2 attempts. Ninth driving accuracy, 9th for greens and regulation, 2nd for scrambling last week when finishing 11th. So some good metrics coming out of his game recently, and some good form or some good rounds that he's posted here in the past. So can put it all together this week. 90 to 1 generally for Adam Long is available, which I've taken with 7 places this week. But other than that, we're all singing off a very similar hymn sheet, which...
Well, Adam Long...
Good or bad.
Adam Long, yeah. He's got a great record at Mayakoba as well. And at Corrales. He's come close for me at both of those. So, yeah, it all stacks up. I'll just throw some other names out there. Davis Thompson. He's got a fantastic record at these amateur events around here. Alex Smalley, who's been popping up recently, but he's got found out 100 to 1 on Smalley, which is ridiculous. Another one, Max McGreevy. Now, he was hanging about sort of top 18, top 20 last week on Max McGreevy. I'll tell you another one who's got a good record in these amateur events on this island is Matthias Swab. Matthias. So, if you're looking at it from a European Tour action angle, Matthias might not be a bad bet. I'm scrolling. He's always short, Matthias Swab. I don't know why. He's always short.
It's an expectation, isn't it?
100 to 1, Matthias Swab, who's played loads of golf here because he obviously went to one of these Southeastern Conference colleges. So, yeah, it's absolutely wide open. So...
Ripe for a big 3-figure price winner, Steve.
Have fun. Yeah, hopefully. Hopefully, that'd be good. Right, thank you for your time, gentlemen. I hope your bets go well.
Yeah, best of luck, guys, and thanks for all your input over the last year, Barry. It's been very much appreciated, as ever.
Cheers, boys. Yeah, good luck on the bets this week. Let's hope we land multiple winners.
That would be nice. That would be nice to finish the year off on a high.
It would. Thank you for your time, Barry. It's always much appreciated. I know the listeners love you. They love your Irish charm on the pod. Rather than now Cockney rubbish that we come out with.
Cockney slash Chilean.
Oh, yeah. My Chilean. I'm going to practice that over the cold winter evenings. And we'll come back in early 2022. when Joaquin will be going off at 16-1 to win some of these tournaments. I hope your bets go well, listeners. We will see you. We might do a Christmas special. Who knows? But if not, we'll be back in early 2022 for the Tournament of Champions. I bid you goodbye. Goodbye.
If you like betting on golf, but everyone that you back misses the cut, get some experts involved with all the stats and the tips and so much more. 'Cause it's the Golf Betting System, the Golf